Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chasing the Supernatural with your host, Josh Bender.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Chasing the Supernatural. I am your host, Josh Bender. Tonight we have a cast of Haunt Me, which is a YouTube web series. I'm going to go ahead and bring all of them on right now. I think I got everybody. We have Ashley Brooks, Katie Webb, Carol Cleveland, and Ty Gowan. Welcome.
Thank you, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, thank you. Hi.
We have a full studio this evening, even though that we're not in the place. But before we get started, Ty had asked, he had some friends listening he wanted to give some shout-outs to. So, Ty, go ahead and do your thing.
You bet. A bunch of my friends are playing Star Wars Imperial Assault right now against Mike Strout, who runs our camera team. So I just wanted to shout-out to Nick, Aaron and Anna, and say the force is with you and Haunt Me is too. Go kick Mike's butt.
Oh yeah, kick Mike's butt.
Now,
thanks, Josh.
You guys are. What's that?
Thank you.
Oh, no problem, no problem. You guys are getting ready to start your fourth season, and I know we might have a few listeners that may not have listened last year, Ty, whenever I had you on. Ashley is the leader of your group. So, Ashley, can you tell us a little bit about Haunt Me and how you got started?
Sure. So Haunt Me is a paranormal investigation web series, and we investigate in our home state of Maine. We were all born and raised in Maine, and we formed this team back in 2012, I believe, 2011, and we've gotten to travel all over the state to notable historical paranormal locations, and we document our findings through our web series, which you can view on YouTube or on the entertainmentexperiment.com.
And you guys, did you start the group to do this this web series, or were you just starting a group to investigate the paranormal?
Well, Ty and Carol, who are on the team, were on a paranormal investigation team before this, and they took me along on an investigation. That's actually how I met Carol. Ty and I have been friends for many years, and we met in high school. And they took me on an investigation to the Bridgewater Triangle in Massachusetts for my birthday. And I fell in love with investigating at that moment. And once they left their team, our friend Nick had just graduated from film school. And we were kind of thinking that it just sort of happened one day when Ty, Nick, and I were all sitting in the same room. Ty missed investigating, and I had so much fun with it, I wanted to experience more of it. So we decided to form a team, and Nick was there, so he decided he would find a way to film it and to make it into something that we could show people. And originally it was just kind of a very basic idea, but over the course of the last 5 years, it's really blossomed into a whole series with a whole team of people behind the scenes and on camera.
Awesome. And did you guys originally start out with a whole film crew?
No. We had just a few friends. Nick was doing the sort of directing and the editing of the clips, and then we had a few people that were operating whatever. We used mostly borrowed equipment back then. I think Ty mentioned recently that we had been using night vision goggles from Toys R Us that kids used to spy on people with for the
camera.
First season. Yeah, exactly. So we are, you know, I mean, we just have been lucky enough to get a lot more people involved that have more of a background in this, and we've acquired better equipment over the years as well.
Let's move on to Katie. You are the occultist in the group.
That is true. I am.
And what kind of methods or techniques of investigating do you like to use?
Let's see. Well, we've experimented with a few different ways, but I think like dowsing rods we experimented with, and we kind of experimented with a pendulum and a Ouija board a little bit. But my favorite that seems to be working really well is the tarot cards.
Now, how do you use the tarot cards to investigate?
So the tarot cards I can sort of just like be in a room, kind of channel the energy of the room through the cards and pull cards that will tell me about the spirits that are around me and in the room. And that way I can have something a little more meaningful to talk about with the spirits instead of just fishing to see what they will respond to. And that kind of opens up a new line of communication. We've also had success with getting spirits to kind of touch the cards and move the cards. So there's kind of a few different ways we use them.
Awesome. I've never had anybody use the tarot cards during an event. I don't do them myself, but I know many people that I've investigated with that have used them before, but not, you know, not for investigating. So it's a pretty interesting technique. Now,
yeah,
you also had, I think it was in your bio here, that you had an attachment at one point. You've experienced that?
The attachment was kind of sucking the energy out of my my throat and my heart chakra. it's hard to talk about just because it's such a personal experience, but it definitely was sort of making me not really feel like myself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were down for a while, Katie. I remember, honestly, it was like a lot that you had to do to come in and out of that, a lot of realizing what was going on, and then like full-on warrior pose once you decided that you didn't need it in your life anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to be very determined to move forward, for sure.
And obviously it didn't stop you from continuing to be in the group and continue to investigate.
No, it only got me more prepared for what's out there. It got me a little stronger.
Okay, let's go. Let's move on to Carol. Carol, you are
no.
The historian. Everybody starts laughing.
That's a risky choice, Josh.
Yeah. Wow.
You are the historian and the loudmouth is what your bio says, but another title and I was looking for it again because I'd read it somewhere. But can you tell us what that is?
Okay,
the manasologist. I just said it. I helped.
I know, but I thought we had it. Is it manis or manis?
It's manasologist.
Manasologist.
All right.
This is a very cool used word.
I hope that
we had only
loudmouth
ever read about it.
I hope that loudmouth is still in my bio, though. Can we put that back in there?
No,
it's funny.
It's historian and loudmouth. It doesn't even mention the other thing.
Wow. Well, Ty.
I'll fix it.
I just look at myself as like an umbrella for just an open door for everything, to look at everything, you know, not just spirits, but, you know, into ufology and Bigfoot and stuff like that, like all over the place on the map.
Now, how did you get involved into the paranormal?
It started out, well, I've always had paranormal experiences around me and couldn't explain it. So I got into ghost hunting, and it kind of would fill the void. And then as I got older, I was, you know, basically searching for my own answers, and I was more into ufology. And I realized as I got older that ghost hunting was filling the void, but at the same time, you know, I'm interested in that too, and it is answering some of my questions, and that's kind of how I got into it.
Awesome. And it also says in your bio that you will not hunt without chocolate milk. Like a,
I will not. I will not go without chocolate milk. That is correct.
That
absolutely
is so
not. I can't hunt without it.
I don't think I've ever actually seen you even in real life without it.
I've always had a handle. You've definitely never seen me without it. Correct.
It's Kate, funny that you call it a handle too, because it literally is.
I know.
Being like a pint of chocolate milk. It's not a joke.
I ain't leaving the house.
Put it down.
And I've also heard.
Please, we're filming.
I've also heard.
If you look closely, it's probably in the background.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So is that like a pre-game ritual? Is that how you get warmed up for investigating? Or
I wish they're all laughing because they know. I wish I could say it was a pre-game ritual. It's actually a problem I have.
Pre-post.
I love chocolate milk.
Yeah, it's not just milk. It's like she needs like a cocoa patch to come off of this. It's as long as I've known her.
I'm waiting for our local company to see one of our episodes and be like, hey, you want a lifetime supply of chocolate milk? I would just be so happy.
Yeah, Oakhurst, get on that. It's the natural goodness of Maine, and Carol needs you.
That's a very specific company slogan.
Yeah, anyone outside of me did not get that reference. I'm sorry.
Like Oakhurst, we are also the natural goodness of Maine. So,
well said.
Now, Ty, it also says in there that you drink it. Did you steal it from her and you drink it? And I've heard that before. I think we talked about that last year whenever you were on the show. But,
that's honestly just my need to make her upset. I feed off of her negative emotions more than chocolate milk.
Ty, you want to tell them how that's all big talk? Because I'll go into your digestive problems, but no, we're on the show.
We're not going to go over my sensitive bowels.
Such a healthy ear.
Yeah, and just downing a pint of, like, dairy isn't something that's going to do well with most people, Carol.
Who's got the strong bones there, little guy?
I'll never doubt that. She's literally like
Wolverine.
More ways than one, Josh, is she like Wolverine. And her bones aren't just made of adamantium at this point. Her attitude is too.
Oh my god.
Now, Ty, you are the audio analysis and location scout. But how do you find all of these great locations? People contact
well,
you.
Or
do you have to go out and find them all, or
you know, it's a little bit of both. At the beginning of the series, it was a lot more in-depth digging and a lot of research and weeding stuff out. But fortunately, like Maine is a treasure trove of haunted locations, and I've gotten the ability to see a lot of places that I, you know, one, didn't even know existed. Two, I never thought that I would, in my lifetime, be able to be alone in there with some of my best friends. And as far as the location scout goes, you know, there is a process to try to find an appropriate one, you know, that won't, you know, will also allow filming, is okay with us being there overnight alone in this area. But a lot of the places that we've gotten over the past 2 years have been viewer suggested. It's great to know that like our fans are some of the best fans out there, and they know that they we welcome interaction. And so anyone who wants to ask a question, anyone who wants to reach out with us and talk, and anyone who has suggestions of places they want to see us try to survive for the night, it's been amazing to have that outreach where they're able to, you know, send us a suggestion, and then we go up and spend a night in their crazy world. So it's been really a blessing over the past couple of years to be able to be the location scout.
Awesome. And what would you say, not counting season 4, because we haven't talked about that yet, but your favorite episode so far?
Ooh, not counting season 4. I would go with – it's different if you want to base it on haunting or adventure. As far as the adventure goes, I would have to say that my favorite episode was the Seguin Island episode. Yeah, that's the season finale of season 3, where we were basically took a boat out 2 miles into the ocean and stranded on an island with a haunted lighthouse overnight. And the boat came back the next day and picked us up in the morning after, you know, we hadn't slept all night. We'd been chasing ghosts in the fog. And I think we actually celebrated Ash's birthday out there. So it was quite a night for all of us.
Yeah. At midnight, it became my birthday. Yes.
Aww.
Yeah. I smuggled a strudel and a birthday candle onto the island. And so we're sitting under a potential murderer's, lighthouse location based on the legend, sitting there saying happy birthday with the foghorn blaring in the background and us basically sitting in a cloud aboard a cliff with the ocean below. So that's a birthday to remember, Ash.
Definitely. That was definitely a big adventure. What was your favorite haunting, though?
My favorite haunt that I think that we've done so far, I would have to say the GRCC was probably my favorite haunt because it's so diverse, it's so bizarre, and there's so much going on there that you can kind of just be overwhelmed by it. And I would say that based on the first 3 seasons, season 4 changed that for me. But we haven't got there yet, so I don't want to spoil anything for you.
But GRCC is the Greater Rumford Community Center. It's open to the public, and there's kids that do gymnastics and sports there, which makes it all the more scary that there are people coming in and out of this really haunted place every day. And we've gone there a couple times to do, we brought people from the public there at one point, and we've gone back a couple times on our own, and there hasn't been a time where we've gone where it's been quiet. It's been a very active location pretty consistently.
That was
it's
actually
wonderful.
One of my favorite episodes was that, and the I believe it was the old Mexico schoolhouse.
Oh, with the old schoolhouse, or
The one with,
from season 1
with Corey Heinzen.
The Mexico High School.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the Dybbuk box, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the GRCC were two of my favorites. But, of course, I'm good friends with Corey. And John Huntington, I don't know if you've met him or not, but he is
awesome at the spirit box.
We know
him. Yeah, John came to our first public event that we ever had at the Biddeford Mills, and he shared some of his first EVPs with us. So that was really cool. But John's been around for a while honing his tactics, and we get to see it first. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yes. He has some awesome stuff there on YouTube as well.
Totally.
Okay. And now before we get into season 4, you have a rating system, and this isn't something that's common with, you know, other shows and groups and stuff. So can one of you, how your rating system goes.
Anyone but Carol, please.
Carol can't pronounce any of the words.
Very funny. I was waiting for one of you to be like, Carol, take it away. Yeah, I don't think so.
So, yeah, our rating system, we kind of, back in season one, we wanted to figure out a way to catalog the places we were going to for our own use, but also for viewers' use, so that they could kind of rank the supernatural hotspots of Maine and sort of, but we had to figure out a criteria to keep us sort of objective so we weren't, you know, biasing our findings. So basically, we come into a location, we're only there for one night, so we can't necessarily decide, oh, this is its score, like from here on out until forever. What we'll do is when we go into a location, we'll interview the homeowner or the building manager or whatever it may be. We find out any evidence that they've had happen to them via paranormal groups that have already come in or any stories they have, historical evidence, whatever they may have, and we'll give the building a pre-rate score. Then we do the investigation. We'll give it a post-rate score at the end, average those two together for the final score. And the score is based on certain criteria. I think 1 through 3 is a 1 through 10 rating scale, 1 through 3 being very minimal activity, maybe some slight K2 blips here and there, nothing that can really be counted as big evidence, maybe some personal experiences. 4 and 5, you might get in some more solid audio, maybe some call and response K2. Then 6 and 7, you're going to have really intelligent spirit interactions, really interacting directly. Maybe you're getting some specific call and response answers. Maybe you're even getting some audio, some visual evidence thrown in there as well. Then score of 8 or 9, there may be an element of danger or maybe more pronounced paranormal activity. Score of 10, which we've never used up until this point, would be either potentially life-threatening or on the opposite end. How would you word this, Ty? Because we just recently made an addendum to our 10 rating.
Well, I'll leave that up in the air for viewers of season 4, but I would say the rating scale when you hit 10, it's blood row, which is an old English word for bloodthirsty, and that's how we meant it. It would be, you know, basically like the Enfield poltergeist type of motion. But what we didn't theorize when we started this game 5 years ago is that maxing out the paranormal scale doesn't have to be bad. It can be maxed out in many different ways, and this season kind of opened our eyes to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, our rating system has been really useful to us. Yeah, and I forgot to mention the old English terms we came up for each sort of umbrella of the scale. Frith level is the lowest level. Then we have obstreperous, angiate, bellicose, and then blood row. So those are our little terms that we use to rate the episodes.
Awesome. Now,
and that's why we couldn't have Carol answer that question for you.
So
they
season
just don't
4.
Roll off my tongue. I don't know.
So season 4, you is your first episode that's May 1st. That will get released.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And what can you tell us about the first episode?
Ash, do you want to take that one away?
Sure. Yeah, so the first episode, we're going to a new main location. Are we revealing what that is at this point, Ty?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be revealed tomorrow in the trailer anyway.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're going to what is now a bed and breakfast in Fryeburg, Maine, but it is the former historical home of Admiral Parry, who was one of the North Pole explorers. He's credited with discovering the North Pole. So we're going to his old house, which is now an active bed and breakfast, and I mean active in more ways than one.
It was quite a night for us too. We tried something new that I've seen becoming more popular, and I think it's a great technique. we decided to do a lot more live EVP sessions this year. Whereas
that
in
was
the past,
so addicting.
Well, you know, it's so great too. It's in the past we've historically gone out, you know, recorded the whole night and then processed all of that, you know, over the next week or so when we return home. And we really had this thought that, you know, like we've done three seasons so far trying to capture paranormal activity like Pokemon. But that's not really helping anyone out when you leave and you call the homeowner back and you're like, yeah, definitely haunted, super haunted. Bye. So we decided that this year we wanted to do more active stuff like the live EVPs so that in the moment we can sit there, try to have a conversation, try to find out who or what is in this place, what they might want, and how we might be able to help them and the homeowner alike. And so in the episode that premieres on 5/1 is really our first mega attempt at doing that, and we're using a borrowed Panasonic DR60, which Kindred Spirits use, and get a ton of activity on there. These things are, you know, probably sold for like $30 in the mid-90s, and now because of their ability to capture EVPs are going upwards of like $1.5 grand on eBay right now. So we were kind enough that Corey Heinzen let us borrow one for the evening and start off our live EVP techniques, and it did not disappoint. So if you are a fan of EVPs and capturing sick evidence in general, please tune in on May 1st. And that's my shameless plug.
Now, do you guys get one night there at your locations? Is it just one night of filming, or do you?
I think every episode we've ever done has been one night. This season is a little different in that we will be revisiting three locations. So yeah, since we've only spent one night in these places, we had made the decision, the team decision, to visit three new locations this season. We're going to be going back to our favorite location from, or not necessarily our favorite, but a location from each season where we sort of had unanswered questions or unfinished business.
Like the location that warranted it the most. But we don't go back alone. Katie, do you want to tease out kind of what we decided to do this year?
Sure. We have decided to bring along some paranormal experts to kind of give us a new angle on these places that we've been before. So, I mean, I'm revealing who it is, right? You're all going to know tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Give it to Josh.
Okay, great. So let's see. So we go back to let me do it in order here. Bill Agent. Well, that's not order.
What are you? The opposite order.
Okay. All right. Let's try this again. Parsons Field Seminary. We bring a familiar haunted object back, and we check in with Greg and Dana Newker, who run the Traveling Paranormal and Occult Museum. So they're total, like, specialists in haunted objects. They take them all around the country with them. So we got some great advice from them. And then we went to the Mill Agent's house once again, where we were sent on a mission by renowned psychic Chip Coffee. And then we end up back at the Lymington Farmhouse, where we do a lot of debunking. And so who's better at debunking than Mr. Grant Wilson himself? So we called him up, and we got some really great advice from him, too.
Awesome. Now
having these experts on the show was a blast this year. I don't know if you guys agree, but
of course,
it was just so fun. Yeah, so
well,
fun and eye opening.
Really helpful.
They gave us something new to think about, because when you go into this location, you know, if we went back at it, I mean, time has passed, so obviously we've all learned things. But having someone who has been in the field for so long studying different types of things than we have, it really can open your eyes to new perspectives and allow you to really figure out a way to do it differently this time around.
Yeah, they gave
awesome.
Us, like, a way to kind of approach these as, like, a scientific experiment, which really pleased me a lot, for sure.
And an interview that you guys were on, it was a video that you had shared on Facebook. And so I did get a little bit of information that from your upcoming season.
Oh, the Entertainment Experiment interview?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great one.
Yeah, it was. It was a good one. It was just a short glimpse, but I believe I saw Corey Heinzen and I saw the difference there. There was a short.
Oh.
It was a short thing. It was real short. It was real quick, and all you guys were standing there, and Corey was standing there beside the guy.
Well.
Yes, both of the beasts themselves.
I think we discovered that Corey's now been in more episodes than many of he's been in like 6 episodes now. Corey is definitely a guest star on Hot Me.
Mhm. Definitely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, apparently he likes it. He keeps coming back.
I believe that he will go anywhere. I've traveled to a couple places with him so far, and actually in a few short weeks we will be on an adventure with John Huntington and Corey and myself, and we have one other, Nicole Novell, will be going with us, but it'll be pretty interesting. We're doing 5 locations in 6 days, so we're going to see how.
Wow.
My God. Josh, make sure he eats right and gets enough sleep. We worry about him when he's out on his own.
We do worry about Corey.
He's already shipped me some energy drinks. I have a case of energy drinks to bring along because he's flying to Iowa, and we're going to meet him out there in Iowa. So he's sent me a few things to bring with me. So we're ready. We're excited to do this, and
that's awesome.
Corey is awesome to have on a trip. So back to season 4, how many episodes will you have this season?
There will be 8 total, and there's 2 double episodes, so we go to 6 locations total.
Too much fun to pack into one episode, because this season is off the hook, Josh. Like, I can't even believe that some of the stuff that happened to us this year occurs outside of, like, Sunnydale on Buffy. Like, it's insane.
It really runs the gamut. Like, there's a wide array of things that happen.
You've also done some themed pictures. Ty, you had sent me some for the banner that I made up. How do you incorporate that into season 4?
Well, we wanted to kind of, like, keep the theme around the power of 4. And so for season 4, 4 has been showing up a lot for us. So there's 4 investigators doing 4 seasons. And I was thinking one night about, like, the impact of, like, the paranormal on the world that it's had over the past 100 or so years. And in my mind, it's leapt forward by leaps and bounds 4 notable times. And so I thought that it might be neat for teaser photos before we come out in May, to do some of our press photos that we do every year, and do them around the 4 main times that paranormal study has advanced. And so spotlight on the Druidic times. It was Carol starred in that one. Then we leap forward to the Age of Spiritualism, which Katie starred in. And then in the 1970s, I believe there was another leap again when scientific prowess came in to the forefront. You had people like the Warrens coming to the forefront. And so I kind of led that shoot. And then nowadays, it's this really strange leap where people over the past decade or so, thanks to shows like Ghost Hunters and Kindred Spirits, have really become more mainstream. People are finally okay to talk about it. When I share what I do at night and on the weekends, people say, well, I'm not going to blanket statement that. I would say people are either, there's no gray area. People are either, wow, that's really cool, or they look at you weird and walk away. And I think that's huge progress.
Yeah,
I would
a good filter too.
Absolutely.
You,
people that you want to talk about or talk with. So Ash is the star of that mainstream paranormal, which we did the shoot of, like, us nowadays. So for each of these time periods, we, with the help of Anna Halloran on costumes, really brought this stuff to life and had a blast doing it. Mike Strout took our pictures. And, you know, really helped recreate these, you know, bizarre time periods in these strange costumes. And, you know, I could say that, like, it was this really in-depth thing that, like, we've always wanted to do, but it was really more of a blast than anything else. So
it was just a fun
glad.
Idea, and it was a cold day, and it didn't matter. It was really, really fun. And seeing the photos
Ty shared that one post of all the Polaroids, and if you glance at it, it really looks like we just traveled through time and that we were caught in pictures. It looks really cool all put together.
I think
and
I saw
Josh
that post
is literally on. Like on the Insta. It's like honestly what Carol's talking about is like these people that we took these pictures with, like I couldn't think of three other people that I would rather travel through time with. So it's really cool to kind of recreate that and see all of us as how we would look if we got trapped, you know, around Katie's seance parlor or, you know, or in the archaic woods of the Dark Ages with Carol, which is a horrifying thought that she was the only one with the torch, but.
Beginning.
And then me kicking it with some pretty badass sideburns, if I may say so myself, in the 70s.
Yeah, they were. But
it's a good
Anna
look.
And Anna with our makeup and costume and Mike with his genius skill, I mean, they were awesome. They did awesome.
It was on another level. It was great.
Now,
and
you guys,
so we'll be sharing those throughout the next month or so. After the trailer comes out tomorrow, we'll just be throwing those pictures at anyone who wants to see them. So share them with your friends.
So your trailer will be out on your Facebook page?
Facebook
tomorrow.
And YouTube tomorrow.
Okay. And how often will you put out a new first episode, May 1st, and then when will your next one be out?
I think it's every 2 weeks. Is that right, Ty?
Absolutely. So May 1st will be the first episode, and that will be the Governor Hill Mansion. And from there, we'll move on to the two-part Parson Field Seminary.
It'll be the Admiral
redo.
Perry.
Admiral
okay.
Perry Inn is the first one. Sorry, not Governor Hill Mansion. That'll be the fourth one, I think. So, we'll do it every 2 weeks throughout the summer.
Now, Ty, do you have locations already for, say, like season 5 or locations that you really want to check out and just haven't gotten to yet?
Oh, absolutely. I have a rolling list of everywhere in Maine that I want to see, as well as privately places that I want to go outside of Maine. It's always haunt me doesn't stop. It just rolls. And so as the season will be released online, we'll be filming season 5 as well. And so we're just trying to navigate exactly where we want to go and how we want to attack. I don't want to speak for the other investigators, but this season really changed me in a lot of really good ways. And so I want to carry that momentum with me forward throughout any other investigation and adventure I go on with these guys.
Same.
Well said.
Now, is there?
I think season 4 was just a game changer in general. Everything was just so different.
It Josh, one of the things that you'll notice when you're watching the season, especially binge watchers out there, I know you reach out to us on Facebook, so I know you're out there. This season is unique in the aspect that Nick Nordfors, who produces it and edits all the show, noticed that there was a very prominent season-long story arc. And so how that happened on, like, reality TV is beyond me. But he worked his art and really highlighted the fact that over the course of the 8 episodes that you guys will see, a very prominent theme emerges, and we kind of all unite together to make it the best that it can be. And so I'm very thankful for Nick for noticing that and for making the season unlike anything else that we've done before.
How many people do you have follow you around as far as the film crew? And I know that, you know, they are, you know, working just as hard and you can go ahead and mention those people as well.
Yeah. So Nick Nordfors, as we said, is our director and editor and really the brains behind the show, along with Mike Strout. Mike Strout's our technical producer, and he's one of our key cameramen. And really, he does so many things behind the scenes. You couldn't do it without him. On camera, following us around throughout the night, we have, and just helping out in general with all of Haunt Me things, we have Anna Halloran, Christopher Talon, Johnny Speckman, Aaron Cross, and Charlie Wittes for season 3.
And Krista.
Four. I said, yeah.
Now, do all of you guys do the evidence review? You all get together and sit down and everything?
You know, no, honestly, we don't powwow so much as we do, like, frantically text in all caps for the next couple of days after.
yeah, we do.
So a lot of it is, you know, done based on, again, for season 4, we wanted to capture as much as we could that night. And so a lot of the evidence that we share with the viewers is the evidence that we captured. Unlike other seasons, there's not too much that we pull up later because we're not really doing post-dated EVP sessions anymore. That being said, while Nick's editing all this footage together, he'll come to us with like, hey, did you guys see this image? Or did you know that this image was in the footage when you guys were asking for something to appear? And if you look in the mirror, check this out. So he catches a lot of that while he's reviewing the episode. But, you know, it never really stops. These are episodes that we started filming last spring, and we don't stop thinking about it. So the evidence review can, you know, be upwards of a year long of us just churning through ideas, possibilities, trying to figure out some of the riddles that are going on. Like,
right.
We had one moment that you'll see in the Admiral Perry, I almost said Governor Hill again, in the Admiral Perry Inn, where we thought one of our experiments was bunk. Like, we thought it was a blindfolded spirit box session. And so we thought that failed. But when we got back, one of our cameramen, or our camerawomen, Aaron Cross, mentioned that, like, even though Katie and Ash and Carol were in one room asking Ash answers, or asking Ash questions and she's answering in gibberish to them, I was in another room with Aaron, who could kind of hear Ash answering the questions in the room down the hallway, and mentioned on the ride home that maybe we should review that again with Nick before he puts the episode together, because she believed that even though Katie and Carol weren't getting any answers with the questions they were asking, Ash was answering the questions that I was asking down the hall.
It was a really cool experiment
because I
couldn't hear anything he was saying because I had noise-canceling headphones on and a blindfold, and the spirit box was blaring in my ears, and I was just repeating anything I was hearing on the spirit box. It was really interesting to hear how it lined up with some of the things Ty was asking.
Yeah, that's important context. Sorry, I blew through that, but yeah, it was really cool to hear and see in the episode me being on, like, another wing of the house asking a question and also thinking my answers are failing to, like, then watch Ash in the same time moment answering the questions that I'm asking while Katie and Carol are getting frustrated mm-hmm. because they have no idea what's going on.
Oh, cool. I do have some questions from some listeners.
Okay.
I don't think any of them are specific. I do have a question for Katie. If someone doesn't know about an occultist, what do you tell them to get a better understanding of an occultist?
Oh, let's see. I would probably have to mention that I definitely have done my fair amount of research on sort of supernatural and metaphysical history. Lots of study with Aleister Crowley specifically. And I definitely have studied the Warren's past as well. So I kind of come from, one thing that I always remember Grant Wilson saying is that when you are, investigating anything, start on Earth and, see if it can be explained by anything going on around you, like a hungry stomach or anything like that. But I would probably say that I start in, like, another dimension. I focus on a lot of, like, psychic and metaphysical techniques specifically to kind of bring an otherworldly aspect to our group.
Awesome. Let's see what we got here.
If that helps at all. I don't know if that was more confusing.
It does. I think it's a good answer.
So this question can be also for Katie or anybody else that wants to answer. Anybody can answer this. But what do you use to protect yourselves before an investigation?
Well, for me specifically, my protection starts several days in advance. I make sure that I'm eating well. I'm not eating a lot of junk. I'm eating a lot of raw foods. I make sure that I'm drinking enough water so that I am in my physical state. I make sure I get a lot of sleep. And then I do a meditation, and I typically surround myself with lots of protective stones, a protective mantra, and some essential oils. That's basically how I go about protecting myself. But it's certainly a state of mind.
I go in, I agree with the state of mind thing. I go in with it's like a confidence and intent thing. Nothing's going to harm me, come home with me, anything. Like I have to be 100% with that intent the whole night. And then I also find myself every time, like unintentionally, I find myself following Katie around, seeing what she's got. In her bag with the oils and
yeah, Katie always has some really cool phrases.
She does. Yeah. She always says something, and like there's always something new. So she's always kept me interested.
Yeah, Katie sets up altars at a lot of our locations. Some of them are for protection in more dangerous places. Others are to help communication. Based on the specific location, she'll whip up some magic there on the spot, and it's featured pretty heavily through season 4, but I think there's some in season 3 also.
Ty, what about you?
Me? I dig deep down and I do a lot of prayer before I go in. That charges me up in a lot of different ways. Try to keep my shields up the whole time. Also definitely echo the fact that I listen intently to what Katie says, because when we get in there, her word is law as far as I'm concerned anymore. If she tells me that, this we need to amp up our protection, I don't even question it. And then for season 4, a lot of the episodes, I carry around a black tourmaline carved angel that my brother gave me for Christmas, because I think that to have a gift like that is really special, to have a family member, not only believe in what you're doing, but also want to make sure that you stay safe. And so on these episodes, Yeah, I carry that with me now, and it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, carrying something from someone you love is very it can help you feel safe and protected for sure.
Now, was it you, Ashley, that mentioned about the food and the water and things?
Oh, no, that was Katie. Katie said that. But
that okay.
I echo that sentiment as well. I try to do the same.
Yeah, see, Katie's a good life coach.
What?
Katie's a good life coach. We all get texts about 48 hours before reminding us about proper diet.
I like to eat before and during and after, and it's usually nothing that's good for me, but just something that's I like to snack. I like to take
Same
a little take a
for
break.
Me.
You know,
well, we
yeah,
all
see,
we
and,
all snack too. There comes a
yeah,
time
yeah,
I, when
immense
when
amount
it
of
hits,
cookies waiting for us
yeah,
during
I know,
the investigation
like,
for sure.
There comes a time at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. where you hit that wall and maybe you just need a Pepsi.
Everywhere we shield. Go, I ask Ty if there's going to be food.
It's bizarre.
All I can think about afterwards is what's open? What's in the area? What's open?
Right.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's so
yeah,
true.
Well,
when you're coming back from the Greater Rumford Community Center, I've learned on my multiple visits that the only thing that's open on the way back is the scariest McDonald's that I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, not just that. Not just that. Katie, have my back on this. 7-Eleven pizza. 7-Eleven pizza in desperation. Come on.
Ew, you guys.
Come on.
The healthy eater, Ty, stop it. I have been seriously hungry and needed 7-Eleven pizza. Stop.
No, that's
yeah,
desperation. That's desperation pizza.
I usually pack my own lunch. I don't enjoy
that's the best choice.
Yeah.
Another question we have here. How do you decide which techniques are going to be the best results?
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm so stuck on Katie and Carol eating a slice of sadness at the end of this investigation.
Actually, that's kind of my job. What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that, so that's kind of my job as the team leader. That's my specific sort of function in the forming of the investigation. So basically, when we get there, we'll talk to the person whose house or building we're visiting, kind of figure out what it is they're looking for. What can we help them with? Do they want the spirit removed? Are they happy with it? They just want more information. Are they just, some people just want to share their haunted house with you. They don't really want to do anything about it. They're comfortable with it. They like having the spirits there. So we just kind of figure out what it is they're looking for. Then we kind of do a walkthrough. We'll check in with one another, see how everyone's feeling. Is there a certain area that's giving us a certain feeling? Did maybe, are some of our equipment going off even before the investigation begins? Because that has certainly happened to us when you're setting up and you have things happen before you even intended to start the investigation. So then we'll just kind of sit down, we'll figure out what tactics we want to use. So we want to break up into smaller groups and what those groups should be, because we each have specific duties or skills, I guess. And so sometimes it's useful to stick, two metaphysical based people together. Sometimes you want to have it a little more balanced. In Parsons Field, we ended up sending Ty and Corey together because of the boys and girls dormitories. So Katie, Carol, and I went off and won because we thought we might yield better results. So it's really good to look at your environment and tailor your investigation to what that is and to how everyone's feeling that night.
And that's also like why season 4 is a little different, because I think when we went back to certain places, we realized what didn't work the last time and what did, and based
right.
on what happened, we used, our knowledge with that and, tried different things, different tactics with prior knowledge.
Cool. Another one we have, are there times when you have had to leave an investigation due to activity?
well,
Who wants to take that one away?
Part of me due to supernatural activity.
Yeah, part of me. Can I just say that in season four, we will leave an investigation, and the public will learn why it's dangerous to investigate, and you need to be safe.
I will say that we've never left an investigation due to the spiritual activity. It's just
exactly
that when you're, yeah.
People don't think of other things that could be, because they're just there and excited to be in the abandoned building. You don't think about other things that could happen.
Right. Now, when I read that question, I was thinking of, I think it was the mill agent's house, when you were all in that room and Ty fell over and you had to... Ran Ty into the wall and then took.
Yeah, that's one thing I have to say. No matter how like sick or scared or anything, each one of my team members is so tough, always bucks up and stays in the game.
We may leave the room for a minute, but we always come back.
That goes out to Ty.
That's my mantra. I think I did a couple laps around the parking lot and ate a sandwich and then came back in with, you know, normal blood sugar levels and ready to go.
Now, is there a place that you've been that you wouldn't go back?
That's a great question.
I would probably not return to the old schoolhouse if I was going to be doing a investigation into the paranormal, because there wasn't much happening there, but I would never not return to a place because there was a lot happening.
Right.
Right.
And
yeah,
you're talking
I've
about
never
the,
been scared away.
You're talking about the high school.
I would throw it out.
High school.
No. From season one, it was the second episode of Haunt Me Ever. We went to this art studio that used to be an old schoolhouse, and there were some interesting stories of a possible spirit there. But unfortunately, if there was something there, it was just so shy that we didn't have any interactions that night except for one small K2 blip, which there was a lot of electrical interference, but not to say that that place isn't haunted, just that we weren't shown that night. So, it's hard to say, especially on when you're sitting in the dark for hours and hours and nothing's happening, it can be a little bit of a drag. But, the Mexico High School, I definitely go back to.
I would say that our team would never not go back to a place that needs us, no matter what.
Right.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Oh.
Katie,
true.
Kind of
absolutely.
Earlier.
Like, if somebody came to us about that old schoolhouse in season one, again, I would definitely go back. I wouldn't deny any of their claims, for sure.
Oh, no, if someone needed us, but not for my own personal curiosity, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Now, Katie kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but one of the questions was from a listener was, what are your thoughts on doing seances and using Ouija boards while on an investigation?
So we have used a Ouija board in the past, but we used it because the family who lived in the house had used it growing up. And so instead of specifically using the actual Ouija as a tool to communicate with the other side, we were using it as more of a trigger object because that family did actually communicate with a spirit. And so we were sort of hoping that we could kind of get the same spirit to communicate with us. You have to have a very specific intention to talk to use a Ouija board. It can be a little dangerous at times. So if we're already in a place that is haunted, I don't necessarily feel like we would have to. We have a lot of other tools. If our viewers really wanted us to, I might do it for fun. But I really like exploring other ways because we all do have our own special capabilities and abilities that I feel like we don't necessarily need one. And there, you do always run the risk of pulling in spirits that didn't want to be here to begin with, and that's just not something I feel comfortable with.
Cool. Now, do you guys ever attend events to, you know, like Paracons, things like that, to promote your web series?
Ty has.
Yeah. I go to, you know, I love going to events and meeting with people of like minds, whether they be, you know, experts in the field or, you know, people just starting out and that have an interest in it. So I enjoy doing that. And then with us being Haunt Me, you know, we kind of have a niche market. So we definitely go to places around the state that, you know, are looking to highlight paranormal because we're in a great state for it. So it's really cool to kind of represent and get out there.
We've also done some public events to teach people how to investigate here in the state as well, in some of our favorite locations that we've been to.
Heather, you should come up for one.
Well, yeah, I was just going to mention, I was telling Corey, I was like, you know, I want to, and I told you before, Ty, I want to come up and check out the GRCC. And he mentioned October 7th, there's a Paracon on a weekend, and we'll probably get to investigate and see. So I am going to definitely look into flying up there for that. And
that's my birthday.
I'll mention that to see if you guys would be there.
Yeah, we actually got invited, and I haven't, you know, I haven't told you, Ash, but I'm definitely going. So anyone else who wants
cool.
to go, let me know.
Wow,
Katie's birthday. That's fun.
That's awesome.
So it'd be nice to come up there and meet all of you, and then to get together with John and Corey as well for that. But there was another question I had here. I had one earlier, but it was how have you evolved as a group over the past three seasons?
Well, I think that's we've completely expanded our goal, I think, over time. Because when we were starting out, we were just looking for evidence. We were just curious about the paranormal. It's sort of like for many of us, it was a lifelong thing. I mean, I'd say for all of us, it was sort of a lifelong passion or quest. But at the beginning of the show, I don't know if we really had much of like a set goal in mind necessarily. We were just kind of all there for the ride. But as time went on, I feel like we unified together as a group, and now we're really trying to help people. We're really trying to assist more, and we're not just trying to get in there to get the best evidence. I mean, obviously that's great to get good evidence and to share it with other people and to our viewers and everything, but we're really trying to help people and spirits alike. And I think that our team has really evolved toward that, and we've all strengthened over the last 4 years.
Agreed.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. That was well put.
Now, what were your, other than Ty, because I talked to Ty last year about this, but the divot box, what were your thoughts on the divot box?
Well, I personally saw it as like a bully, so in its presence, I would just, again, that confidence and all in the intent, I was not going to let myself be intimidated by it. However, the episode, it says, like, that Carol, that I'm in there and that I need help is when I had the flu. I had the flu so bad, I was bedridden, and I just thought it was funny that it chose me and said my name, said I needed help, and I wasn't even there. So this something intelligent about it.
It said the only way to help Carol was to open the box.
Right.
So Carol, I would weigh easily on telling it that it's intelligent if it thought that was going to work.
Wow.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I think that to find out more about the Dybbuk box, you should watch season 4.
Ooh.
Well said.
Yeah, there's many layers to the Dybbuk box.
Yes, I can't wait to see your first episode when it comes out. We will be on our trip, so we'll have to definitely watch it whenever we come back. I want to thank you guys for
internet.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just pull over to a cheap motel. It'll be worth it.
I guarantee we'll be sleeping at those locations before we get up and drive. It's a pretty long trip, but it'll be for sure.
Well, it'll be there when you get home, and Admiral
That's the
Perry
of web
will
series.
Await.
Right. And there's no commercials.
That's true.
Absolutely. Stream anytime, no commercials, completely free. Why not watch Haunt Me?
Yeah, right. No, but it is a great show. I really enjoy watching that, and also Thai Tuesday.
That'll be back too. That will be back too in all of its glory or whatnot you want to call it.
So people can watch this on your YouTube channel. It is under Haunt Me. Is it Haunt Me or Haunt Me Official?
Haunt Me,
I know that
Haunt Me Official, or you can go to our website, haunt-me.com, and all the episodes and Thai Tuesdays are up there too. And entertainmentexperiment.com also has them up there.
And they can also
absolutely.
Follow you.
And
well,
Facebook and Instagram will be all your content, everything that comes at you from behind the scenes. So if you don't want to miss out on anything, make sure you like us on Facebook because we're always throwing stuff up on there. And then subscribe on YouTube, which is youtube.com/hauntmeofficial. And that way every episode will go right to your inbox.
Awesome. Again, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to be on the show this evening. It was awesome talking to all of you. And I hope I can get up to that Paragon, guys.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Before we end the show, I want to mention that Living Paranormal Magazine issue out, I believe it will be April 24th. Again, it's a free online magazine about all things paranormal. It has team interviews, location reviews, conspiracies, ghost stories, and more. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Just listen to Chasing the Supernatural on the Vibe Radio Network. Good night, everybody.